This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, covers the Ole Miss Rebels for the Rebel Walk, Evelyn Van Pelt. Evie, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm just so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Eve, one of the things, I think I went back, and I know I wrote it to you. You got to go back, I think, to 1963 or 64 when the Rebels have had this many players that are projected to go in the top 100. It's a special year, and, you know, some of them you got to know very well in covering the Rebels day-to-day and on a weekly basis. But, you know, there's so much talk now about Jackson Dart, so I think everybody's going to have a different opinion on him as a player, but your interaction with Jackson, the person, because here's a guy that, you know, he's from California, so to speak, you know, and he comes here and, you know, it's different in the South, but, and you saw his maturity as the years went on, like anybody who's 18, 19, 20 years old, we all mature at a different rate. But in your interaction with Jackson of handling the pressure of being a starting quarterback, not only on an SEC team, but on a team coached by Lane Kiffin?
Really good question. I tell you what, I feel like I had a front row seat for the growth of Jackson Dart. You're right, his on-field growth is documented, and different people have different opinions about his NFL potential and where he'll go. But just as a person and a leader, I got to tell you, he was impressive as a leader. And that really kind of surprised me. It's not a knock on him, but you're right. He kind of came in from the West Coast, a USC transfer, dropped into Oxford, Mississippi. and I tell you, I believe I saw kind of the beginning of the transformation of him the year before his senior year against Tulane. And they were actually, the Rebels were behind in the second half. And Jackson just seemed to pick the team literally up and put him on his back and carry him and, you know, hurdle people and, you know, whatever he needed to do. And after the game, he talked about that and just, it was all of a sudden he was very expressive about the team and how much the team meant to him. And then you fast forward to, you know, a lot of those guys. I mean, Dart, Jared Ivey, J.J. Pegues, Princely Amamiel, and a lot of those guys, Caden Prescorn, chose to come back for their final year and play. And Lane Kiffin has credited that to Jackson Dart. You know, he led those guys, and they all wanted to come back together, which was very, very unusual.
The thing with Jackson, I think he's harder on himself than any fan could be. I can see it in his eyes and how he talks after a good game or a bad game. When they put that mic in front of him in a good game, he doesn't want to talk about what went right. He'll give you what went wrong. And my thing is, that is the mark of a guy who's driven because of the fact he don't like losing and he don't like making mistakes out on the field. It's part of playing sports that's going to happen. But I think, Evie, I think he's a lot harder on himself than any media or any social media person could ever be on him.
Yes, and you know, you probably saw that if you recall after Ole Miss went into Tiger Stadium and lost this last season. And that really, really, really kind of at the time put a damper on, you know, all the playoff talk. And he was the player that came in and talked afterwards. And I mean, I will never forget it. I just wanted, as a mom, I just wanted to give him a hug. But he sat there and, you know, he had a hoodie on, but he faced everybody and he talked about his shortcomings. He didn't blame anybody else. He took responsibility and said, it's on me. You know, this is my fault. And it's kind of like you're saying, I will get better. I will do better. And after, you're right, even after a win, that's what he would do. And it reminded me a lot of like what I saw from Eli Manning, you know, when he was there. I mean, you have a win, but yet you're still thinking about what you left on the table, so to speak, what else we could have done and how we could have scored.
One of the guys I got to see in high school, he was at Como High School in Louisiana. He played quarterback. He was an option quarterback there.
Yeah.
And I got a couple calls from coaches at that time at Louisiana Tech that said, what do you think? I said, listen, don't put him as a defensive back. I'm going to tell you right now, he got to touch the ball some kind of way. If you put him at halfback or wide receiver, whatever. And he made the conversion to wide receiver, had 2 years at Tech where I think he learned how to play wide receiver. And I remember speaking to him before he transferred to Ole Miss, and he told me, I want to go somewhere where they throw the football a lot. And he told me, one of the teams I'm looking at is Ole Miss. I said, well, Trey, I'm going to be honest with you. You won't find too many places they don't throw it anymore than Ole Miss does. And he kind of gave me a little grin about it. But you also see the maturity in Trey making the position change from quarterback to wide receiver, leaving Tech, going to Ole Miss. He came back because he really thought this was the year. And then what happens? Bang, he gets hurt right off the bat. And he didn't have the senior year like he wanted to. And he's not the fastest guy, but he is quick, and he's got some length on him to put those arms out and make a catch in between defenders. That's really impressive, and that's why I don't think he's getting out of round two.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think, you know, even hurt, Trey Harris had, you know, over 1,000 yards, 1,030 yards and 7 touchdowns, and he hardly, you know, I mean, and he missed a lot of games. He looked healthy at the combine. He looked great at pro day. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he gets out of the second round either. And golly, I mean, if he is on a team that has like traditional X receivers and aren't afraid to give their wideouts chances on 50-50 balls, I mean, he's your guy. I think he could develop into a legitimate wide receiver too by year two. Great guy, too. I mean, one of the nicest guys, I mean, you know him, one of the nicest guys you could meet. Just really, really happy and excited to see where he goes.
Evie, you had him for 1 year after transferring from Alabama, but before he transferred to Alabama, He was at my alma mater, UL, Raging Cajun.
Yes.
Trey Amos, who Mike has projected as a second-round pick. I wanted to get your evaluation of him, how he played this year in Oxford, and what you see from him.
Man, I tell you what, I think everybody in Oxford wishes they could have Trey Amos another year, because he brought skills and he brought an intelligence to the game. You know, he came after he left your school, then he went to Alabama and spent a season there and then came to Ole Miss. And I mean, I think he's got genuine NFL starter traits. He's versatile. I just think he has speed, processing speed and athletic traits where he's going to really develop in this area. And so I think, you know, and he's just from talking to him, I mean, he is the kind of corner who takes it personally when a receiver catches, you know, a ball. So,
and Evie's got some athletic arrogance about him.
Yes,
and listen,
yes,
that's not a bad
good
thing. It's
no,
not a bad not thing.
Not to be a cornerback in the NFL. I mean, I think you got to have that, attitude. So really, really, really looking forward to him too. He was the class 2A state champion in the long jump.
Yes, he was.
So he's, you know, very explosive, and you can see that in his play.
Evie, the first time I saw him, it wasn't on the football field. I covered the state track meet. That's the first time I saw Trey Amos.
Really?
I'll be honest.
Really?
It was not on a football field. It was not on a football field. It was on the track. Well, he was on a field all right, but it wasn't a football field. He wasn't getting hit, or he wasn't hitting anybody. You only had him for 1 year at Ole Miss, but Walter Nolan, he's the buzz guy. I've had, you know, a lot of people tell me he's in their top 20. They think he'll go anywhere from, say, like 14 to 22 in round one. The Walter Nolan I saw last year at Ole Miss, he tilted the field. He was a badass player on the field. The one at A&M, every once in a while you would see him kind of hit that dial and move it. Last year, I know when he played LSU, those coaches and players along that offensive line was, man, he was in the backfield more than Nussmeier. They had a difficult time blocking Walter Nolan. So from what you got to kind of interact with Walter, and he was the man, number one recruit in the country, coming there, a lot of expectations, and certainly with the NIL, there's a lot of pressure put on you to perform. One thing with Walter Nolan, he performed last year.
Boy, he did. He created so much havoc up there up front. And as you said, I mean, LSU coaches weren't alone in trying to figure out what to do with Walter. I mean, he was the anchor of that Ole Miss defense. And last season, they set school records of 52 sacks, 120 tackles for loss. He was just, a constant disruptor. You're right, in the backfield. And he showed an ability to take over games. And what I thought was interesting is, I full disclosure, I went to A&M. Walter started out at A&M. You're right. I mean, he was obviously a phenomenal player, number one recruit, but you didn't see from him what you saw once he got into Pete Golding and defensive line coach Randall Joyner's system. And part of it was, I also heard, and this was not true, but you heard, Aggies would say, well, he was a bit of a diva, or he was absolutely nothing could have been farther from the truth at Ole Miss. I mean, he was a team player, worked hard consistently, didn't take plays off, which I saw that from some of those players in that in the A&M defenses at that time, Jimbo defenses. And so really, really, really proud of Walter for how he came in, because you're right. I mean, I didn't even really think about it that way, but pressure, number one recruit, number one transfer, and he absolutely delivered.
One of the things I wish we had time to talk about, but man, the personality of J.J. Fagese. Oh, my God. He came to one of our camps, and I see him. He's like 288 pounds. Yeah. So I asked him, I said, J.J., so what you playing? He was like, well, coach, I think they'll put me at fullback or running back. I'm like, what? Fullback and running back? He said, yeah, I think I'll play a little tight end, too. And I'm like, whoa, dude, did anybody, when they recruited you, weigh you? Because I knew he was close to 290. And then when I looked it up, I saw you weighed 288, and I was like, oh, goodness. But he is quite the personality.
He really is, and he's a sweet guy. When the Ole Miss all-girl cheer team won the national title in January, nobody knows this, but J.J. had a banner made and placed in the square in Oxford and took them out and treated them all to dinner. So he's a super, super guy, Chucky Mullins Award winner, so just a fantastic guy, in addition to being a very big potential tight end, defensive lineman, and running back.
Evelyn, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to have you join us, and we appreciate your time and all your insights.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great rest of your week.
All right. Evelyn Van Pelt, Evie from the Rebel Walk. You can read all her insights. I know we got a lot of Ole Miss fans in the area.